Coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Damn Podcast, as always, we continue to tell you something good, positive news and notes from around the Lions organization. Then we go on the ball and defend the den as we look at the Lions' initial 53-man roster. And this week's Now You Know covers their practice squad. All this and more coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Damn Podcast. Here comes the roar. What up, though? And welcome to the Die Hard Damn Podcast. This is Kurt Steele. And as always, I'm with my man, Shawnee J.
What's happening, peeps? You know, forget about that preseason. The real season's about to start in a few days.
And like we always do at this time, it is time for Tell Me Something Good. So my man, Shawnee J, you're up first this week. Tell me something good.
All right, for my part, tell me something good. This is music to Matthew Stafford's ears as well as the running backs. Remember Frank Ragnow, now the starting center, the former Northern draft pick, got hurt in the third preseason game against the Buffalo Bills, got his ankle rolled up on. Well, I was informed that in practice today, and he's on schedule to start Sunday at Arizona. Now, that's very important. You know, centers is right in the middle of the line. Centers responsible for calling the blocking schemes and who to block, assign who to block, you know. So the center is like a catcher in baseball. He has the ball on his plate, and plus you got to be physical. You got to protect the quarterback just as much as anyone else does and block for a running back. And they're expecting big things out of Ragnow. They moved him back to center. His natural stronger as center than he was at guard. He was a pretty good guard last year. So I'm hoping that they're right. He's a become an all-pro center for us, the next Mike Webster or someone like that. Definitely CTE, and I don't see him homeless and retiring either. I don't want that part. So
not that part. Yeah, good job. All right, man, Frank Ragnow, back at practice. This week, my Tell Me Something Good has to do with two different events with Lions outreach into the community. First thing, on Saturday, Marvin Jones and Devon Kennard were captains at the Detroit Catholic Central and Detroit MLK football game on Saturday. They stayed for the game. They watched the entire game as Detroit Catholic Central won the game. But they were involved in the community out there with the youngsters as they played a big game early on in the season this Saturday. Another thing that happened was Trey Flowers. Trey Flowers visited with Teen Height Detroit. This is an organization that encourages teens to be creative and dream and also be active leaders in their community. So big shout out to Trey Flowers, the new kid on the block. He's already immersed himself into the Detroit community and helping out those youngsters with the Detroit Teen Hype. So big shout out to Trey Flowers for that. That ends Tell Me Something Good this week. Now we are going to go on the ball. This week on the ball and defend the den, we're going to look at the Lions' initial 53-man roster heading into week one versus Arizona. I'm going to read the list off, my man, Shawnee J. Well, I'm going to read each position. You're going to tell me what you think about the group, okay? Any surprises that you see in the group. So first off, we're going to have the quarterbacks. We got three on the roster. We got Matthew Stafford, Josh Johnson, and David Blau. What do you think about that group, my man?
Well, of course, I love Stafford. You know, I'm in the minority. You know, Stafford's a great quarterback. Lions fans, he saw and appreciated his town. You'll miss him when he's gone, but I hope he plays in the first season. I love Josh Johnson's our backup. He came out of nowhere. He stole the job. I posted something in the group today. Question, the Lions make the right decision by keeping Johnson over Tom Savage as Stafford's backup? The answer to that is hell yeah. I mean, because Savage, this might sound savage, no pun intended, but he suffered in preseason what might have been his fourth concussion this last 2 years. He might have to start thinking about retirement. He's a tin man, you know. You got to think, you know, with all these concussion lawsuits, and he got to think about his long-term health. I think the Lions made the right decision. And David Blau, he got the right name. Blau, I mean, why did they trade for this guy? Didn't just pick him off? twice in the last pages of game is Cleveland. I don't know what they saw in Blau. They could have got a much better option when they want a young quarterback. And speaking of which, have you heard anything about the Tyree Jackson workout he had yesterday?
No, I haven't heard any word in the Twitterverse from any of the insiders from the Lions on the Tyree Jackson workout. Now, my opinion about the three quarterbacks, I like Johnson. Of course, I already love Stafford. I like Johnson a lot just because of the fact he's more mobile than Tom Savage was. And Tom Savage has that, of course, the concussion injury history. And I just think that, like you said, for his long-term health, he needed to look at moving on from him. He may want to rethink, you know, being an NFL quarterback. You don't want any health issues that kind of come down the line as far as his brain is concerned. Now, what I think with David Blau is, to me, I think he's a placeholder for Bob Quinn. When he finds someone he wants to bring onto the roster, Blau will move down to the practice squad, and someone from the practice squad will get removed, and somebody else will be signed to the active roster. That's just my opinion. I just think he's a filler for right now. Lions usually don't keep three quarterbacks on the roster. They usually just keep two and then put one on the practice squad. So I just think he's a filler for right now. Let's move on to the running backs. Our five running backs, Kerryon, C.J. Anderson, Ty Johnson, J.D. McKissic, and Nick Bowden, which is our fullback. What do you got, my man?
Of course, I love Kerryon and C.J. Anderson. That's a nice one-two punch. T.J. Johnson, he's a youngster, a rookie, has great speed. He's one of the reasons why they let Theo Riddick go. This J.D. McKissic guy, he signed from Seattle. Once again, I posted something about him in the group. They say he's such a playmaker. He has great speed. And now my question is, why would Seattle, with such a great player, go like that? He has speed. And he's still young. I guess that's the question, why the Lions release or let Theo Riddick go? Well, I think Theo was a little too one-dimensional. I love Theo. Like I say, he's one of my favorite Lions, like Dr. Z. But Theo, he was too one-dimensional. He caught the ball well. I thought he could be the next Marshall Faulk. He didn't run it well enough. And it's because this guy got to see more of him. Let's see if Seattle was foolish enough to get rid of a good player, a good young player like that who's a playmaker. That's shame on them. So let's see if he really helped us. I got to see more of him. And the fullback, I mean, he had a fullback. He missed all last season with knee injury suffering and off-season workouts. Like I said, we'll see how much they use him. I'm sure glad they signed Mark Thompson to the practice squad. People sign him because I thought he was enough to make the team.
Right. I did as well. Hopefully they'll keep him and he'll have a future on the active roster. The one thing with J.D. McKissic, you asked how Seattle let him go. Seattle had a player that they were higher on that was injured last season. So he's healthy this year, which made J.D. McKissic the odd man out. So that's how they end up letting him go. I see him more of as a special teamer. We let go of Zach Zinner, which is our special team running back. J.D. McKissic is a more of a special teams player. He has good return ability, so he may be able to spell Jermall Agnew on the kick return or punt return side of the ball when it comes to the special teams. But I like what we have. I like Kerryon. C.J. Anderson is a tough runner. I think Ty Johnson is going to bring a nice change of pace into the game. He's a good receiver, and he can run hard. So I really like the running backs we have in our running back room. Moving on, our tight ends. We got the rookie, T.J. Hockenson. Yo, man, the outlaw, Jesse James. And we actually brought back Logan Thomas. He was released for a short bit just so they can put Austin Bryant onto the active 53-man roster and then move him to injured reserve. As soon as they move him to the injured reserve, they re-sign Logan Thomas. I'll go with this one first. I like the rookie. He's showing a lot. He can block. He can catch. And he has deceptive speed. He's a pretty quick guy. Jesse James is going to bring some versatility down the field. He can stretch the field. And Logan Thomas is another big body. He's athletic, former quarterback. He can do a little bit of everything. What you got, my man?
Yes, tight ends. You know, Hockenson showed me something preseason. They even line him up as a receiver, you know, sometimes. He has good size and he has good speed. You know, look at him. He's like a real big guy. He looks like a big wide receiver and tight end, but he's a great blocker. He has good hands. He shows some speed. Outlaw Jesse James, another big guy, 6'7", 250 pounds. known for his blocking and some pretty good hands. And he was kind of a victim of a Calvin Johnson type play, you know, with Pittsburgh years ago that, you know, gave Lincoln a victory. And I think, yeah, Patricia was coached then. Yes, so.
Yeah, the Patriots. Yeah, he was.
And Logan Thomas, you know, former college quarterback, started his NFL career as a quarterback. Another big guy from blocking and some good hands. We got three tight ends on the active roster with Isaac Nauta on the practice squad. I think we're in pretty good shape, tight ends. You know, during the Patriot way, you know, the Patriots had, they loved their tight ends, had an all-pro Hall of Famer in Gronkowski for several years. And they had two of the best tight ends in the game in the early 2000s. They could have had it for a long time, Aaron Hernandez and Moses Emmett.
Yeah.
You know, so him and Hernandez. And Gronk could have been, that was a two-headed monster at tight end. It's sad.
Right.
Hernandez was life away like that. But going back to the Lions, that's why they went off the two tight ends. I thought once they signed the Outlaw in free agency, I didn't expect them to go for another tight end. Maybe later in the draft, but third down the first. And everybody was disappointed, including me, when they picked Hawkinson with their first pick at 8th overall. But now we're seeing why. If he can double Eric Ebron's production, which shouldn't be too hard, is a good pick.
Right. And I just think we're going to have the ability to stretch the field, and you're going to have more versatility in the offense when you have that two tight end set or 12 personnel. Now let's get into the wide receivers. We got KG, Marvin Jones, Danny Amendola, my surprise, Chris Lacy, and then the rookie, Travis Fulham. What you got, my man?
Hey, I love Kenny G. Good receiver. He was a steal in third round a couple years ago. He's a big body athlete. He's a poor man's Calvin Johnson, Herman Moore type. You know, yes, I said it. He's a great receiver. And Marvin Jones, he's a deep threat. He's had injuries recently. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. I love like Marvin. Good free agent pickup years ago from Cincinnati. It wouldn't surprise me, and this is last year, if he's a cap casualty or they let him walk as a free agent, because this is last year's contract, right?
So I believe so, yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if they let him walk and go over a younger option. Yeah, Danny Amendola was a surprise signing for me. He's an older guy. He's 34 years old, and I think he's the 12th or 13th year in the league. I was surprised they signed him. He's obviously familiar with Patricia and the Patriot ways, a pretty good slot receiver. But he's getting a little longer, too. He may have 1 year left in the tank to do something for us, you know, help us out. I was disappointed because I really wanted to see Brandon Powell play that role. You know, I love Powell. He was released, and he was picked, signed by the Atlanta Falcons.
And, yeah, he's on that practice squad, yeah.
Yeah, so conceivably, we might be able to sign him back if we really wanted to. Mm-hmm. You know, the practice squad. But I did like Powell, but hopefully Amendola can help us. And I like the big guy, Travis Fulham, the sixth-round pick out of Old Dominion. I mean, he showed some stuff in preseason. He made a costly fumble, you know, when the Lions are driving the win against Buffalo. Mm-hmm. But that ball, young man, he has size, potential. They like what they saw, and I'm glad they kept him. And he kept his former roommate and teammate on the practice squad, Fulhart, Jonathan.
Yeah, Duhart. Mm-hmm.
Duhart, yes. Those are two big guys. They really, you know, was Old Dominion. They made Old Dominion, you know, they both had 1,000 yards receiving their senior years. Obviously, they kept them. Those are two big guys. I'm glad they kept both of them, you know, on the organization. And Chris Lacy, he's more of a special teams guy, like I said.
He's a gunner.
He's an emergency receiver, mainly a special teams guy. He was similar to, like, Andy Jones, they gave an injury 7-2 release, you know, from the IR. But they, if necessary, if injuries kick in, they're going to let Andy Jones get healthy. They gave him some money. He's going to work out, and he might get that call back at midseason if they need him or late in the season. Just like
right.
So it's like how that's how they brought him back, and they brought Zach Zinner back the same way last year. And I'm sure Zinner's the same thing. You really cut him. If they need him later this season, his injuries are piling up. I hope they don't, but they might be back to Zia call. So you never know in the NFL. You always got to be prepared. You got to stay in shape and keep on working out because you never know who's going to call you.
Right. That was the one surprise, but it was no surprise, really. Chris Lacy was my guy I looked at for special teams. I'm glad he's on the team. He plays gunner. I think he's going to do a good job. think he has a good rapport with Matthew Stafford as well. So I think that that was a good signing for the Lions, keeping him on the roster. Travis Fulham, he has good size, big hands, and he has a good catch radius. Just get him to hold on to the ball, like you said earlier. The offensive linemen, we have 9 guys on the offensive line. Taylor Decker, Kenny Wiggins, Frank Ragnow, Graham Glasgow, Rick Wagner, Joe Dahl, Tyrell Crosby, Ode Adebuche, and yo man, Bo Bishwasher.
Woohoo! So, yeah.
So,
boy, yeah.
So, you got your boy, Bo's on the squad. What you think about the offensive line group, my man?
Okay, assuming that Ragnow's healthy.
Right.
We got, this is going to be the center. You know, I also love the former, I'm a big U of M fan, you know that. Ram, who was an excellent center. Tough guy. Right. He hasn't missed a game due to injury yet. He's our new Iron Man, just like Jeff Backus, another U of M guy, was Iron Man for years for Lions. Now it's Graham Glasgow. So those U of M guys are just as tough as those Wisconsin offensive linemen. And we got two of them. Also, we got, you know, two. Rick Wagner's a Wisconsin guy. Big, you know, the Badgers. So, you know, I love those Badger offensive linemen.
Right.
Unfortunately, we got a guy from that team down south.
Right.
He's pretty good, you know. Taylor Decker, you know, if even they come from a team I hate in college, if they help my Lions, I'm professional. It's a business. It's like,
right.
I hate Golden Tate when he was over on Notre Dame. He was so arrogant. He was arrogant ass. I hate him.
Yep. I love him on the Lions.
Exactly. Woohoo! Yeah, that's my boy. Tate, that's my boy. When he was the Lions. I was pissed when they traded him, you know.
Yeah.
So that's how it is in sports. But the offensive line, see, if everyone's healthy, starters should be right now at center. Decker and Wagner could tackles, Graham Glasgow, one guy, and looks like Joe Dahl at the other guy. Now, when Dahl was drafted in the 5th round back in 2016, I had high hopes for him, as many guys did. They were looking for him to start because we need some offensive linemen. About Dahl, I think for years, like, guys don't have a chance like they used to develop. They said, just give a quarterback or any player at least 2-3 years to develop. When this day and age, you expect instant results. You got to come in ready to ball. I mean, you see freshmen starting in college football and basketball. You see, you expect more rookies in football and baseball, all sports to start because you don't have that time or luxury to sit and wait because someone come take your place. But I'm glad they were patient with Dahl. Put on some weight, hit the weights, and put on some weight. Hopefully that helped me. Finally got that starting job gig. But he's just holding keeping seat more temporary till my boy Bo takes over, and we're really at the best offensive line in football. And like I said, they want to keep the veterans. They don't keep too many young guys. That's why they kept a couple of veterans like Kenny Wiggins and Boucher around.
Right.
You know, some veteran depth. So they don't keep too many rookies or young guys. So he wants a veteran. So I think offensive line is pretty solid. It's a mismatch, you know.
Right.
I think it's pretty solid. I'm glad our starting center's back. Like I said, Matthew Stafford's probably taking his lucky stars. I have a starting center back because I don't want to see him get cut. I want offensive line to be like the Patriots offensive line with Tom Brady, how he gets cut. Or anybody for years, see how good or awesome the Dallas Cowboys offensive line is. I want to see the Lions have the best offensive line in football. And there's an article from Pride Detroit. I don't know if you saw it. You know, in the preseason, they said the Lions had 14th best offensive line, according to PFF, in preseason. So that's middle of the pack. But I want to be top of the pack.
Right. Well, middle of the pack is better than what we had last year when we were looking at probably one of the worst offensive line performances during the season. However, I think this year we have a pretty solid group. I think with the new scheme coming in, I think these guys are better built for the new scheme. So hopefully with the play action and the new scheme with the new regime for Bevel, they can play better, stay healthy. And I think moving Frank Ragnow to his natural center position and moving Glasgow back to guard, where I think he really shines, will help. Now, it's time to defend the den. So we're going to switch gears from the offense to the defense. Now, this core group right here, I think is going to be one of the best in the NFL. You have our defensive line, Deshaun Hand. You got Snacks Harrison, A'shaun Robinson, Mike Daniels, Trey Flowers, Romeo Okwara, and Kevin Strong. What you got, my man, on that big group?
Yes, I like this. You know, I'm a big man, big fan of the big man. You know, I love my offensive lineman, but I got to give us some love to my big defensive lineman, too. And I'm glad, like I said, they I was the first to suggest when Mike Daniels got cut, they should sign him. And they listened to him and they signed him. And we have two big boys in the middle, Daniels and Snack. Like you said, it kind of reminded me of the Twin Buddhas in Chicago. Keith Trailer and Ted Washington, one was 350, the other one was 375. They may not be that big, but they're pretty big. So, yeah, you know, like I said, we got this generation's Reggie White, and we signed the best free agent in the market this year. And that's Trey Flowers coming from New England. I think he's going to have a Reggie White type impact for us, you know, all around play, rush the passer and play the run. I love Okwara. That was a steal. I mean, we got him off waivers, New York Giants, and he had his best season of his career when he came here. I think Patricia and Pascal, what's Paul Pasqualani?
Pasquale.
Yeah, they had a lot to do with that, especially Patricia. He's a defensive guy I hired, you know, praise, give us working on defense. And him and Devin Canard, another guy from the Giants, we stole two good ballers for the Giants, you know. And they had their best years last season with the Lions. Hope they both capitalize on it. But, you know, like the defensive line is going to be a strength. It's going to be hard to run in the middle. Remember when Snacks came in last year, and I'm glad for Ray's back and signed for them. So, the whole dynamic of the Lions defense changed. You know, it was tough to run against the Lions when he came in. He, you know, he took up double, triple teams, which theoretically these other guys free to make plays. The junior twin Buddhas. Biggest, the original twin Buddhas.
Okay. Yeah. They give those linebackers a chance to warm around. So get into those linebackers. We have six on the roster. We have Devon Kennard, Jelani Tavé, Jared Davis, Christian Jones, Jalen Reeves Maven, and one Miles Killebrew, which kind of moved over from safety. He's going to play probably both during the season and special teams. Looking at this group, Kennard definitely stands out. Tavé, Davis is a little banged up right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if they brought someone else in, but I think Reeves Maven can fill in for him. Between him and Tavé can really spell Davis until he can get better from that high ankle sprain. And then Killebrew and Reeves Maven really had an impact in the preseason. They were flying around the field. I think Patricia's giving them that freedom and that Viper role. Both the guys can kind of cover. I know Reeves Maven is a better cover linebacker than anyone we have on the roster. So he giving him more responsibility and playing time will definitely help our defense going forward. So what you got with the linebackers, my man?
Yeah, you know, I'm disappointed when both Frank Ragnar and Jared Davis got hurt in that third preseason game against the Bills. That's the danger of playing your starters in the men's preseason game. It looked bad for both, but, you know, like I said, it's the best case scenario for the Lions. You know, right now, scheduled to start opening day. And Jared is going to miss a couple of games, but he'll be back by the end of September, early October. And this is why we drafted Tavé. I mean, he's a kind of a big, wild man, the kind of linebacker that Patricia just loves. He has good size, good range, good speed, can kind of run stuff from us. You know, maybe I think he can cover tight ends better than our past Lions linebacker. Like, who's that guy who was with us a few years ago with Oakland? He couldn't cover.
Oh, Whitehead.
Yeah, Tahir Whitehead. He couldn't cover. He couldn't cover a tight end and save his life. But anyway, I think Tavé has more skills and is a better athlete than that. Yeah, I think he'll fill in just well until Davis comes back. Miles Killebrew, he gets the second life. He was in danger of getting cut. Everybody, I thought he was going to be the safety of the future, even stronger free safety for the future for the Lions. He has some setbacks. He got outplayed and some guys went ahead of him, but he has a good size. He's a classic tweener between big safety and small linebacker. Now, one thing that killed the Lions in the past, I'm glad they can't reach Maven, was, remember just a few years ago, people complained about that the Lions lack speed on defense. You know, a bunch of big, slow guys. Couldn't cover, couldn't run. But now I love, you got to have the right fixture. Yeah, you need some size. And an official of size. But once again, you don't want to fall into the trap having a bunch of slow guys out there. You need a Reeves Maven that's good speed. And Miles Killebrew has pretty good speed for a linebacker. We can cover a tight end.
Right, he can cover a tight end, everything like that. Right here. So, yeah, Miles Killebrew. Let's go on to our corners. We got seven on the roster. these are my guys. Sean likes the big guys. Me, I'm into the more of the secondary guys, play secondary in school. So we have seven corners: Slay, Rashawn Melvin, Justin Coleman, Amani Oruorie, Jamal Agnew, Mike Hoare, and D Virgin for our seven corners. These are my guys. You like the big lineman. That's your guy, that group of guys. I really think that Mike Hoare and D Virgin played their way onto the roster in the preseason.
It did.
Amani had some bumps and bruises, you know, a couple penalties, but he had some good pass breakups. He's going to work himself into the lineup. One thing, going into week one, Rashawn Melvin, he's sitting on the shelf. He has a little bit of injury. He's banged up a little bit, so we'll see how that's going to affect him going forward for week one. What do you think about those corners?
You said he got seven corners on the team. That's
right.
Unusual hot five corners?
Seven, yeah. They got Slay, Melvin, Coleman, Oruorie, Agnew, Mike Hoare, D. Virgin.
That's an unusual high number, but there's those guys. They have skill, they have speed. Remember an article I sent from Pride Detroit, Kent? Kent Platt, you know, he's the analytical guy who does the Lions have one of their fastest secondaries in years, according to him, if you believe his analytical stats. You know, one of the fastest guys has speed, especially Melvin, a couple of guys he brought over. The guys has speed to the backfield, which is important for a secondary guy, run those fast receivers. So if if the math bomb guy is right with his, you know, his RSA, you know, scores, how he like to score athletes, you know, similar to like PFF. If he's right, the Lions should have one of the faster secondaries in NFL. And I hope he's right, because if we do, that'd be awesome. We should be able to cover guys better, make plays. Be awesome. He's prepped for that assessment that we have some of the fast guys. And hope my man Jamal Agnew. Once again, I thought he could be an all-pro, you know, two-way player, a la four-man's Deion Sanders, return those kicks, and also become a good cover guy. Well, we'll see. But once again, hopefully that the math bomb was right about us having one of the faster secondaries in the NFL.
Right. Now, the last group of guys, I really think this is probably one of our deepest groups in the league as far as our safeties with Quandre Diggs, Tracy Walker, Will Harris, Tavon Wilson, and C.J. Moore. C.J. Moore was a surprise. He played really well. He played himself onto the team. He's going to be a good special teamer. I like the group. I like the maturity of Tracy Walker stepping up where he's going to move into that starting role. You're going to have Tavon Wilson playing some situational football where he's going to be, those guys are going to be rotating in and out. And I think that when you look at Tracy Walker, he's very versatile. So if you need him to go out and cover, so say Rashawn Melvin's out this week, you can kind of interact with some of these guys, not only with the corners, but some of these safeties can go in and play some of the slot guys as well. So I think it's a very versatile group at safety and a very deep group at safety. I really like that group of five guys playing back there. And with Quandre Diggs being the old man really of the group where he's that captain back there calling the defense, I think he's going to have one of his better years than he did last year.
Yes, I love Quandre. You know that. You know, he's a playmaker. It was a stroke of genius. He came into the league as a cornerback. Kind of stroke that corner, but they moved him to safety, strong safety. He became a ball hawking, playmaking safety. And like I see, he reminds me of Troy Polamalu a lot. I love Quandre Diggs. He's a great player. I'm glad they paid him last year. They liked him too. They paid him. They signed for a nice long extension. They gave Jaw extension. So the Lions, they like it. They will give you the money. They will pay you. So
yeah,
I'm glad they paid Quandre. I'm glad they paid Trey Flowers. I'm glad they gave Slayer a contract a few years ago, but he wants another one. And I'm glad they extended Snacks at least one year, which was fair. So Dig is my favorite. Now Tracy Walker, he was a surprise pick at three in the 2018 draft. He was unknown. Again, I was very surprised to pick him at this spot. They saw him as their future safety. Was a little bit higher, and the future begins now for that young man. And Will Harris, he was a third-round pick in the 2019 draft. He was the guy that essentially the Lions traded Golden Tate for, Philadelphia for. And he made a couple big plays in preseason, carrying a fumble for a touchdown. They recovered a fumble, so he made some big plays. He doesn't have to start right away, but I'm sure he'll get grassy, you know, will be fitting. He'll probably start from special teams like they all do. He might be a nickel back or a dime back, get some plays. So he has a bright future as long as he stays healthy. I like the Lions secondary.
Right. Now we're going to finish the roster out with the battery for special teams. Of course, we still got Matt Prater as our kicker, Sam Martin's the punter, the mule, Don Muleback, he's our long snapper. And let's go ahead and get into practice squad. We have our 10-person practice squad right now. You have Jonathan Wynn, defensive end, defensive tackle, John Atkins, a linebacker, your guy, Anthony Pittman, Jason Kabinda. He just came over from the Raiders.
Yes.
Steven Longa, Mark Thompson, the bruising running back. We got that tackle. Matt Nelson, tight end. Isaac Nada out of Georgia. I know Matthew Stafford was happy with that to have another Georgia guy on the roster. Jonathan Duhart and Tom Kennedy, lacrosse player. Interesting guys on the practice squad. Please listen to, it's coming up. The practice squad on Now You Know segment is very interesting. You're going to find out some good things you didn't know about the practice squad rules coming up on that segment of the show. So that closes out our defense, our team for On the Ball and Defend the Den. So now we're going to go to 2 points conversing. 2 points conversing this week. My man, Shawnee J, has a beef with the national media. Tell me what your beef is with the national media there, Shawnee J.
Obviously, the national media were not impressed with the changes and the two guys in the Lions brought in. They don't think Patricia's a good coach. Many of the major NFL networks, like NFL Network themselves and ESPN and Sports Illustrated and others, the most I see anybody giving the Lions is about 6 victories. I see some of them will say we're going to be 2-14. So some, a lot of them pick 3 or 4 victories, but no more than 6, and I think we are better than a 6-win team. It shows lack of respect in a way. I kind of like it that way. You know, people aren't expecting much from Lions, and this happens a lot. When, you know, the expectations are low, that's when the Lions seem to creep up the surprise out of guys, catch them off guard, whatever, you know, and I like that. And once again, once they win that Super Bowl this year, they can act put in their faces, and I like that
too. Right. I get what you're saying with that, with the national media. It's confusing in a way because earlier we talked about this on another earlier podcast is that the Lions were picked by many media outlets to have the best chance to go from worst to first. But now they're picking them to be worse again. So how do you pick them, say they can go from worst to first, but then you're making them worse all of a sudden? That makes no sense to me. I think the Lions are better than a 6-win team. We'll get into our season predictions right after we finish this conversation. I think the Lions under Matt Patricia year 2 are going to have a better season because of the fact they've been in the system a little bit longer. I like the fact that they switched gears and switched to a more traditional pro style offense than that kind of aired out air raid always in shotgun, because they just needed to be. They couldn't run the ball. Focusing on the run, Kerryon Johnson, CJ Anderson, improved offensive line play is going to be key for the Lions' success. And I think they showed it in the preseason. They averaged probably around 5 yards a carry, which is a lot better than what they averaged before. So I think Kerryon's going to break that 1,000-yard barrier this season. And I think we're going to have a good backup, change of pace backs. With that backfield, it's going to be a better season. So, Shawnee J, give me your record prediction for the upcoming season for the Lions.
You can call me a homer, but I don't care. I think they're going to go 11-5.
11-5. Okay. I got them going 10-6. So
we're
right at the same level. Okay. So game coming up. It's week one of the season. Before we go ahead and close out this segment, the first half of the show, who you got winning and what you think the score is going to be for the first game versus Arizona?
Well, I think the Lions will win. They better win. Based on the quarterback, his first NFL start. But we saw what happened last year with Sam Darnold. He had no business losing that game at home as a rookie quarterback in the New York Jets last year. I think the Lions are better prepared. Once again, they got Snacks Harrison, other guys to start the season. I think Patricia, you know, last year was a learning curve for him too. At this first year, he's the first NFL coach. I think he learned his lesson. He was listening to his players. Remember last year, they were complaining about he was working too hard. He's running mm-hmm. too much. Players weren't used to that. And so you notice he no complaints coming out of campus here about him running them too much or working them too hard. He gave the veterans plenty of rest, like Stafford and Slay and others. They barely played for you, which is a smart thing because, once again, you know, you saw what happened to Davis and Ragnar. You don't get no key players hurt. So I think the Lions are better prepared. Patricia's a better man, a better coach. I think the Lions will win Sunday in Arizona. I think my final score is Lions 35, Cardinals 14.
Okay. I picked the Lions to win as well. My score is Lions in regulation 24-10. Good 14-point victory for the Lions. Okay, that's all.
They win.
All right. So that's what we have for the first half of the show. When we get back from the break, we'll have another iPod profile on a Lions legend by one Shami J. All right, be back, my man. Shawnee J, who do you got for this week's All Pride profile?
This week, I would like to profile a former Lion legend who I think should be in the NFL Hall of Fame. He isn't yet, but his daughter is petitioning for him to be in the Hall of Fame. He's one, Al Bubba Baker. Al Baker played for the Lions in 1978 to 82. He was their former second-round pick out of Colorado State. Al Baker had a phenomenal rookie season, as he recorded 23 sacks in 1970 as a rookie. That would have been an NFL record. However, at the time, the quarterback sack wasn't an official NFL stat. It was mainly kept by the teams themselves, even though the league didn't recognize quarterback sacks. And the quarterback sack wouldn't be an official stat until 1982, which is Baker's last season with the Lions. So that's the only season, the first season they recorded. Officially, as far as the league is concerned, Al only had 8.5 sacks with the Lions. That's what he got in his final season, 82. However, unofficially, he recorded 75.5 sacks in his five-year career with the Detroit Lions, including that awesome rookie season where he had 23 sacks, which would have been an NFL record, more than Michael Strahan got, I think, if I'm mistaken, or Mark Gastineau, and those other guys. He was All-Pro his first 3 years with the Lions. That's when he was All-Pro. He made Pro Bowl. Unfortunately, like so many Lion players do, he ran afoul of management. Remember Russ Thomas, our infamous general manager, Matt Millen of the day. he ran into a contract dispute, and Al wound up getting traded to the St. Louis Cardinals when he played from 83 to 86. He put some good numbers for the Cardinals in the mid-80s. And he went to Cleveland as a backup in the strike year of 87, went to Minnesota in 1988, and he finished his NFL career with the Cleveland Browns in 88, 89, and 90 for hanging him up. Today, Big Al, he has a restaurant with his family in Avon, Ohio, Bubba Baker's Barbecue, I do believe it's called. It's mm-hmm. a nice restaurant. I don't know if you've ever been down there, but if I'm in the area, I definitely stop in. And Al, he was profiled on Shark Tank a couple years ago, where he got $300,000 invested from the Sharks for a 30% return. Al, he also has a barbecue sauce on the market that is very good. So he's been doing pretty well in retirement. And he's also up here in Detroit for a lot of reunion alumni functions. So he's still, even though he played for other teams, he's still lying at heart. And I hope he makes it to the Hall of Fame. Hope he goes in as a Detroit Lion. So big up to one of my favorite, all-time favorite Lions, Al Bubba Baker.
Thank you, Shawnee J, for another outstanding All Pride profile. When we get back, we're going to look at Now You Know. That's coming up next.
What up, though? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to this week's edition of Now You Know. This week, we're going to talk about the NFL practice squad, including how it's constructed, who's eligible, and what can happen once the player is on the practice squad. Let's hop to it. Before teams can sign their players to the practice squad, the final roster cuts to 53 must have been made, and this was done on August 31st this season, this past Saturday. Teams started signing their players to the practice squad on Sunday at 1 p.m. Now, most teams negotiated with their players they wanted to be on the practice squad after the final roster cuts were made, but they could not sign them until 1 p.m. on Sunday. Most of the teams have already announced their practice squad yesterday on Monday. So let's find out who's eligible to be on the practice squad. Not all players are eligible for a practice squad slot, especially if they've been in the league for a few years or have played in a number of games. In 2016, the NFL adopted modifications to their practice squad rules that allows up to four players per practice squad to have two accrued seasons in the league, making it easier for teams to have experienced players on their practice squad. In the previous agreement, they only could have two players that had two accrued seasons. Other than those four players with the two accrued seasons, eligibility is limited to players who have been on an active roster for fewer than six games or are on a 46-man game day roster for fewer than nine games. Now, there's a difference between being on the active roster for 53 or active game day roster, which is 46. 46 is those guys that are actually active on the roster for the game. Now, a player is allowed to be on the practice squad for up to 2 years, with 1 year counting as a 6 weeks in a season. So a season for a practice squad player is only 6 weeks. Now they're on the practice squad the whole year, but they only count as 6 weeks in a season. A third year on a practice squad is allowed if a team keeps 53 players on their active roster at all time. Now, it's not easy. Most teams do this for the sake of injury. They want to keep 53 players on the active roster at all times. Let's get into what they make. The practice squad salary. Practice squad's player get weekly paychecks like everybody else, right? They're not getting those big game checks like the guys that's on the active roster. And for 2019, they get a minimum of $8,000 per week, which equates to a minimum of $136,000 for the seasons. Now, a lot of teams, what they would do is they'll pay them more than that to keep other teams from trying to poach their practice squad players. And they want to keep those guys healthy. They don't want them to go ahead and leave the team to try to go somewhere else or request a release. They want to keep those active practice squad players, so they pay them more than the minimum. And it's easy to do that because their practice squad's contracts does not count against the salary cap. So it's easy to pay them a little bit more because of the fact they don't count against the salary cap. However, practice squad players can change teams, but there are some rules to that as well. A practice squad player can sign to another team's active roster at any point. However, they cannot leave to go from one practice squad to another practice squad unless they get released by the current team. So if you have a player on the Lions practice squad roster, they just can't go up and jump to Arizona's practice squad roster. They have to sign to their 53-man active roster. Now, here's the tricky part for that. The only time a practice squad player cannot be signed to an active roster is when the team's next opponent is simply trying to get information and spy on the current team's matchup by signing a practice player. Practice squad players are prohibited from signing with the next opponent of their current team any less than 5 days before the game or 9 days during their bye week. So say this week, it's already past the point where a player could sign with the active roster on Arizona. Today would have been it. It's already passed. Tonight is Tuesday. So they would have to have signed with Arizona for Sunday or Monday to be eligible to play on their active roster. They don't want the spying in the NFL, you know, to competitive edge. They don't want to have people just going and telling the other team what their scheme is or what plays they're going to run during the game. So practice squads players, if they're signed to an active roster, they will receive a minimum of 3 game checks, even if they're released less than 3 weeks in their stay on an active roster for another team. They go to another team's active roster, they're going to get 3 paychecks, 3 game checks. Now, here's an interesting loophole. International practice squad players. International practice squad players are signed usually by the NFL. They would assign a player to a team to try out. Now, the team has to take note of those players for the international tryout. If they make the team after camp, they will count toward the 53-man roster. However, if they're cut and they go through waivers as usual, if the team re-signs them after clearing waivers, they will become the 11th person on the practice squad. So international players allows a team to have an exemption to have 11 players on their practice squad instead of 10 because they're an international player assigned the team from the NFL. Interesting fact, never knew that. So you have your 10-man active roster for your practice squad. And then if you have an international player that tried out and he made the practice squad, if he went through waivers, you got 11. That makes usually an interesting conversation. You got an extra body to do more work with and practice. So there you go. Your practice squad rules for 2019. Now, as promised on this Now You Know, I'm going to give you the Lions practice squad roster. The 10 players for the Lions that are on the active practice squad roster are defensive tackle Jonathan Atkins. You're going to have a linebacker, Jason Cabina, who just came over from the Raiders. Jonathan Duhart, a wide receiver. Another wide receiver, Tom Kennedy. Steven Laga, a linebacker. Isaac Nada, the tight end from Georgia. Matt Nelson, the tackle. Anthony Pittman, another linebacker. Mark Thompson, the running back who did so well in the preseason. And Jonathan Wynn, a defensive end. So there you have it. Those are the Lions' 10 players on their practice squad. If you don't know, now you know. Like my man Biggie Smalls said, baby, baby. Now let's get back to the Die Hard Den podcast.
All right, we're back from Now You Know. It's time for us to get on out of here. So, Shawnee J, tell the people how they can get a hold of you on social media.
I'm on Facebook. I'm an administrator for the Detroit Lions Truest Fans Group, the best Lions group on the web. You know, I keep the group and join Facebook and join our group. Just hit me up, and I'm happy to add you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Curtis Steele 14, CURTISSTEELE 14, or you can find the show on Twitter at DieHardDenPodC1 on Twitter, or you can email the show DieHardDenPodcast@gmail.com. And I want to give a big shout out to NFL OutRoute. They follow us on Twitter and they actually like the podcast, and hopefully we can gain some new listeners to our audience from that actual Twitter feed. They have about 8,000 followers. So hopefully we can grow our show from that Twitter feed. So as always, thank you for listening to this week's show. Tune in next week as we go over the Lions game versus the Arizona Cardinals and we give our predictions for the following week. So it's Kurt Steele for my man, Shawnee J. Thank you for listening to the Die Hard Den podcast, and we are out.